As you can tell, there's a lot of work being done around here. The windows are up in the fellowship area. Ceilings, a lot of that's been repaired. Still got a ways to go, but a new ceiling's been put up over there and almost finished that run over there. And a whole lot of other stuff. So working on getting another, we got another bathroom in here. So we got two bathrooms now on the main floor. Got a little plumbing issue, but we'll fix it. You know, things change, but God's word never does. I don't wear suits up here like I used to for 18, 17 years. I wore suits all the time. I don't wear the suits as much because you guys don't wear suits. So why would I wear suits if you're not going to wear suits? All right? Well, I don't mind to wear suits. I got places I'm going to preach in the next few weeks in another city, whatever. And if I go down south, I say, I'll take a suit. And then I ask them, you want me to do the King G? You need a King James version. Down south, a lot of them want King James version. I'll just be what I need to be to preach God's word. But things do change. But as I said, God's word never changes. Some things are supposed to change. When you become a believer in Jesus Christ, you're supposed to change. You are supposed to be different than you used to be. Not everybody jumps on that part there. They love the idea of coming to God. They love the idea of who God is. They love the idea of believing in God. They love even the idea of coming to Christ and salvation. They love the idea of baptism or love the idea of communion. But they still don't want to make the change. Now, most of you here today I know pretty well, and you are some of the faithful ones. Most of you are the faithful ones. But I always say this, God will meet you wherever you're at. He'll take you as you are, but he won't leave you there. But if you want to stay there, you can stay there. But all through Scripture, God tells us when a man or a woman comes to God, there should be a change in their life. I'm going to be in the book of Ephesians today. I'm going to start in chapter 5. I may float in 4. We'll see how things go. I'm not firing out the gate. I just need to be cautious how I say things this morning. That's why I'm speaking a little bit slower. Because once you say something, you can't put it back in. Once you say something, it becomes audible and everyone hears. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1, Paul's already talking to the people of Ephesus, and this is a pretty strong group of believers. I believe some of your strongest ones are the people in Ephesus, the people of Ephesians. If you go to Revelations, you talk about the seven churches. It is mentioned in there as the seven churches. It is the church that does and does many, many, many things, but is being pointed out as losing, and they need that. They have lost their first love. But at this time, they're growing. They're doing well. They're learning things. There's some deeper things in the book of the letter to the Ephesians than some of the others. Doesn't make them better or anything of that sort, but God is, through this letter here, Paul's writing some deeper things. But there is a big piece that you always have to go back to. You always have to go back that we need to be a changed people. He says in verse 1, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. We are to be imitators of God, which means we need to imitate God's word. We need to do that. And some of you today have your struggles. You have your personal struggles, and wherever they may be. But I want to tell you that God can work on those things if you allow him to work on those things. It is one thing to come to Jesus Christ. It is one thing to accept Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and personal Savior. And that is what we are supposed to do. But also, after we become a, once we become a believer, we begin to grow up in the name of Christ, and we need to be servants of God. But there will be people who will never become servants of God. They will become believers of God, but they will not become servants of God. Because many believe that it's still all about them. Now here's where we're going to struggle a little bit. Verse 3. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because there are improper, for these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For as you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an adulterer, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. And it continues to go on. We're going to pray real quick because I need to pray through, because I'm really frustrated right now working through this, and because I got to make sure how I say things right. All right? Father, Lord, once again, just want to come to you this morning as we come as believers, and I pray, Father, Lord, your word would come out as the way it should, and that your spirit, Lord, would be not grieved here this morning upon myself first, and I pray, Father, for the people that are here today, that our hearts might be right. If they're not right, that they might become right through your word today. Father, there's no one like you, never will be, never has been. And we pray, Father, that our hearts be in tune with your spirit today. In Christ's name, amen. He's talking about sexual immorality. We have several church members living with people. I'm just going to call it out. It's a sin. I can't change God's word. I can't do that. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm still going to work with them because I'm called to work with them. People living a homosexual and lesbian lifestyle. We've had several here. I'm going to continue to work with them. I am. I love them, but they break my heart because they want the things of God, but they won't let go of the things of the world. And I'm telling you, the Bible is very strong on these things. And I'm not bashing nobody. I'm just saying, you can't make your own Bible. You cannot make your own word. There is only one Bible. Yeah, there are some different versions, but when you match them up, they agree. I'm not going to stand here and be a King James only individual, or I'm not going to go out here and bash the message. I'm not going to go out here and bash these. Listen, if you can learn something from the Word of God and His truth, listen, you've learned something, whatever interpretation it is. I'm not going to die on that hill. I'm not going to fight that battle on that hill. I've got almost all the versions, and they've all helped me grow in Christ. But there's lifestyles out here that are, this is why our church is not full. This church has had more people in it than probably any other church that I've been a part of. But won't stick. And it's not because it's a hard church. It's because really this church reaches out to those, the church reaches out to those who are at a crossroads in their life. I tell you all the time, I can't help it, but this is a hospital. People come in spiritually sick. We love on them, whatever lifestyle they're living. But when it comes to that one place where you've got to give up something, and we don't tell you, it's just a word that comes out. Listen, you can't serve God and be effective for God when you're a drunk. I'm just saying. You can't be effective to God when you're looking in porn. It doesn't work. You got to separate yourself. You can't work and serve God and put a smile on His face when you're out living another lifestyle. I'm just telling you, some of us have to make some hard decisions in life and say, am I going to serve God? Or am I going to do it my way? Because the Bible says you can't serve. You cannot serve two masters. You'll love one and you will deny the other. He says, but among you there must not be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or a greed. But because, he says, nor should there be obscenity, a foolish talk, of course, joking. Listen, I understand. You meet somebody at the crossroads. Sometimes it's the mouth of a garbage can. I've heard it all. I've got military. I've been whatever, just like you all, you know. But when you become a believer, the mouth, the swear word, come on, let's curve it down some. Let's dial the knob down. This is why I don't follow Facebook, because I get let down by believers. And they say, I'm a believer, and throwing out the F word all over the place, the GD word. Come on! You can't do that and be effective for the kingdom of God. This is why this style of church does not grow. I can give you messages, but I'm not going to, but I can give you messages saying, you are awesome. You can do whatever you want. Get your best life now. Listen. There's something called sin. We don't need to bash on it every week, but we need to be told that there are some things that are wrong in our lives. That we need to love on those people who are out there. We need to love on those people who are at a crossroads. But listen, if you're spiritually sick, you're spiritually sick, but you can get better. We need to have the desire to get well, spiritually well. Not laying out. Doing our own thing. You can't do that. And he's talking about firing these people up and saying, well, you need to be imitators of God. You need to get it together. You need to start doing what I purposed you to do. But you cannot do what God's will is until you have a desire to do what God has called you to do and how to live. Doesn't mean it all stops overnight. And many people have sworn in front of me and swear in front of me. I don't chastise people in front of them. I don't chastise people for that. I start getting warmed up every week, and when I start getting loud, Cam starts crying. I don't know if that's her sign to say, you're too loud. Yeah. Yeah. We need to remember where we came from. Where'd you come from in your walk before the Lord? Where'd you come from before you came to know Christ? And that moment that you forgot, that you knew that you needed Christ, and someone shared it with you, whatever it may be. But do you remember who you used to be? That shouldn't be you now. Amen? That shouldn't be you now. You should be different. He says over in verse 8, for you were once darkness. You were once darkness. We lived in darkness. The prior part of that, he says this in verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. There are some people we need to cut out of our lives. If they're not going to change, and they are the people that tempt you all the time to go out and to live and do things sinful, we need to cut some strings. And we need to live. And they get upset when your life begins to change and they don't go to the parties and they don't do the things that you used to. And they upsets them. And Christ says, you need to cut that string. You can't help other people until you help yourself first. This is why I have a hard time with, I do a drug addictions group. This is why I have a hard time with someone that's not been clean or sober for a long time doing my drug or addictions group. Because I'm telling you, it's not good. And a lot of them around town do that. And I think that's a lot involved in that. I'm not saying it's wrong. It's just there needs to be some time. There's so many triggers involved with that. But we are to be different. We are to let the light shine. He says, for once you were once in darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. It's the Lord who shines through us. He says, live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Let me tell you, being a good guy, being a good woman, living righteously, that's not wimpy. That's not weakness. That's strength. The world calls it weakness. You remember, if you know your Bible, you remember when Jesus was being punched and thrown around by some Roman soldiers. Even by the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all those individuals pulling, and one of them hit him and said, prophesy, who hit you? Do you not think that Jesus could handle all of them? Do you not think that Jesus could have called 10,000 angels down and took care of business and would have been a soul left there. Jesus took the high road. He took it. He did what he preached. Turned the cheek to the other side. But the world wants to beat us up. The world wants to teach things that are not right. The world wants to teach things that are different, that are against God's word. Yet today we have churches that accept the ways of the world. They accept these things that are called sin inside God's word. Listen, God loves us. He loves us. And the sin that we commit, He still loves us. But I'm telling you, God's love has not given us a free ticket to go to live any way we want. We are to be different. We are to be changed so that light, as we were once in darkness, that light begins to shine. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. That's why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." And then be careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. And therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Once you become a believer in Jesus Christ, your life no longer belongs to you. And it really never did in the first place. We just rebelled against God. But once we become and we know that we are a sinner, and we come to the acknowledgement of asking Christ into our life and salvation becomes ours, we are now a new creation. And we are to live different than we were and than we used to. I want you to go over to Ephesians chapter 4. Prior to this, he says, "So I tell you this in verse 17, and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do," pretty much as lost people do. "They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of their ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality to indulge in every kind of immorality or impurity and to continue to lust for more." There is a pull right now. There's a pull. It's always been, but there's a pull, and it's really strong in our American, especially in the American church today. There's a pull to keep going the way God wants us to go. And to call things out the way they are, to love people where they're at. But there's also another pull going on in there that the world has eased into the church in many ways to pull the church into a new direction. You know who's the leader of that? The Bible calls him the Antichrist. Preachers most of the time, we don't preach on the Antichrist anymore. One, we don't want to scare people. A lot of preachers don't want to preach on it because people won't come back. Listen, my job is not to keep you here. That's not my job. That's your own job. "Do not forsake the assembling together as some are in the habit of doing, but spur up one another and encourage them as the day is appearing." That's your job. You're to encourage. We're to encourage one another. That's your job. My job is to preach and teach and be there and to do what we just read over here in chapter 5, to know what God's will is, His vision, and fulfill that. And sometimes it gets ugly at times. But there's a desire for lust and those things to move more and more and more, to allow the sin into the church and to accept it as it is. I don't know how some people are reading the scriptures. In fact, I don't think they're reading them at all. Or they're picking two or three verses and they're doing their whole piece on two or three verses, but I want to tell you, the Bible is from Genesis to the end of Revelation. There's a whole bunch of it in there. And if you really know the scriptures and you begin to read, you'll see that the Old Testament and the New Testament mirror one another. They work together. We don't throw the Old Testament away. We don't do that. But he says, "You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life. You always know where you came from. You don't have to, you're not staying there, but you know where you came from. You know where you came from." You see, Satan will use every tool he can to draw you away from God. God will use God's biggest piece is love, sacrifice, mercy, forgiveness, those awesome pieces like that. Satan will use everything to pull you away, to destroy your life. Sexual things, putting chemicals in your body, whether it's liquid chemical, whether it's liquor, and to mess your mind up, or drugs to mess your mind up. Lies, greed, all kinds of things, just to keep you away, to keep you away from God. Because once you become and you know who God is and you receive him, your life begins to change, and it's supposed to. This is why he says, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self." Now it becomes some responsibility. Put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. That means you're in a new battle. Now you begin to do some fighting that you didn't realize. Before, when you were lost, you were just trying to figure out how to pay the bills. It was all about you and your four walls and your family. And what you were going to do. When you went to work, it was about you. And those things, it was about you. But once you come to Christ, you realize that now that your family is bigger, that there's salvation, that you were a sinner. Now you're saved by grace and you've accepted that. So we take off that old junk. And in verse 11 or 23, it says, "To be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self." Why we keep flirting with the old junk? That's what I want to know. Why we keep messing around with that old lifestyle? Why? Why we keep going back to that website we know we ain't supposed to? Why haven't we disconnected some numbers? Or why haven't we cut some strings off some people from Facebook that we know we just get caught up all up in that drama and we just get into a bad place? Why can't we do that? Because there's a battle inside of us. As long as we keep those things in there, we are going to be in a battle. And the darkness will continue to draw on those places that you won't let go of. You remember I was preaching a couple of weeks ago about, I said something about nightmares and dreams and about spiritual warfare. Someone came to me and we talked about it. And I said, I had a couple of days to think about it. I said, "Here's your problem. There's parts of that dream you like. That's why your nightmares won't go away." And he said, "Yeah, I think so." As long as you got a finger on the button, long as you got a place, long as there's something in there that you are enjoying that is sinful, there is a way Satan's going to work on you. And he will work on you. And he will work on you. And he will keep poking and he will keep prodding until you give in. But we are to be, he says, to be made new in the attitude of our minds. Listen, we don't cut each other down all the time. You don't talk about each other all the time. That's not building up one another. All you got to do is look at the Google News or one of the news places and you can just sit there and watch people hack each other down. That's the world. But God's people, we're not supposed to do that. We're not supposed to cut people down. We're not supposed to tear people up. You're not supposed to do that. Who made you judge and jury? I'm not judge. I'm not jury. I don't like where some of our people are at. So I see where they're at. Going to go work with them. I'm going to have to say some truth and love. I'm going to have to speak to them, still wrap arms around them, still tell them I love you, but the direction you're going is not going in a good place. And sometimes I got to say, I can't help you until you help yourself. You're wearing me out. To be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Let me ask you something. Let me put on your imaginary mind for a moment. What if your old self was sitting by you right now? The old self plopped a seat right next to where you are right now. What would you do? Well, I'm saying, I hope you would just get up and find another spot. Because you know that person. You know that person, and you know that was you. And you don't have to be like that, because God says we are a new creation. We need to get rid of that. We need to step away from that. But some of us keep flirting with that old lifestyle and want to know why we're in trouble. These messages are always harder for me than any other messages. Because I want to be encouraging to you. I don't want to put you down. I want to be encouraging to you. But I'm telling you, we need to be smarter than we are. Verse 25 says, therefore each one of us must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all still members of one body. I think we forget that sometimes. But in verse 26, he says, in your anger, do not sin. And I had to keep praying, because there's a part of me that's stirring. Because I know what's going to happen. My cell phone's going to blow up today. And it's okay. It's going to blow up today. It blows up a lot. Pastor, I need this. Pastor, I need that. And I'm telling you, it's not that you need to stop contacting me. It's okay. But when people want me to do marriages and I ain't seen for 3 years, still thinking they're a member of the church, that's why we purged our church membership. You don't come for a year. Come on, are you really a member of this church? I'm just asking. You got to purge the membership sometime. Because really, it's giving people a false belief that membership going to get me to heaven. Membership don't get anyone to heaven. It's through Jesus Christ and Christ alone. But the phone will blow up on things with people having problems, and I'm okay helping people with those problems. But when I don't see them for 2 or 3 years or 5 years, yes, I want to reconnect with them. But many times it's an opportunity for me to get involved with them back into their life. And I'm not going to step away from it. But I'm also not going to say, this is okay. If you ask me my opinion, I'm going to tell you. Just like I told one young man, listen, son, you're in the wrong place. You're living with this girl. She's in witchcraft. And you want to know what in the world's going on. Why you got problems? You got problems because she's a witch. And you're living there. And you're saying you're a Christian. And it's not working. You see, light and darkness don't live together. They cannot do it together. But light needs to penetrate through the darkness. And darkness keeps trying to penetrate through the light. And it's you that's right there in that threshold. It's you. It's about you. And when that phone and people call up, I want to help them. I do. And if they're drunk, I will do what I can do. But I'm not going to have a conversation, because you're not going to remember it the next day. And if you're high, I'll do what I got to do. But I'm not going to sit there, a needle sticking out of the arm. Listen, I'll pray with you. I'll work. But I'm not going to have and listen to crying and whining about, oh, my life, this and this and that. Listen, once you become a believer in Jesus Christ, you need to pull the trigger and let him be God. Because when we allow Satan to keep doing those things are God in your life. There can only be one. You can't make more than one happy. And Satan's trying to do all this filth stuff and do it. And it is flooding into the church. And right now, there's not a family that's not affected by drugs and alcohol today. And we don't talk about alcohol as much as we do drugs, but I'm telling you, it is a road that goes down a dark hole. If your family is... Listen, if somebody drinks a beer, I'm not going to get all upset about it. But I'm going to tell you, some people's bloodline is more affected and more addicted than others. And I'm just telling you, churches are dying all over America. We don't know how to handle the sin in people's lives because we've been too busy being a country club and being too busy about making people happy coming into the sanctuary and making them say, what can I do? What can we do for you? What can we do for you? How can we make you be a member? How can we make you be? How can? No, no. I love it when someone comes into the church and says, what can we do for you? Now, there's going to be people that are going to come in, and they're going to be messed up, and their life is in darkness, and I get that, and we want to help build them up and lead them to Christ and all of that stuff. But I'm telling you, this church has way too many members, way too many people laying out. And it starts with one Sunday, you miss another Sunday. You miss another Sunday, and then now church, worship isn't even on the agenda anymore. But it didn't start there. You know where it started? The other direction. I don't pray like I used to. I'm not praying today. Praying now, I'm praying every other time. Now I'm praying only when I'm in trouble. Reading the Word, reading God's Word. Oh, I don't even know the last time I read God's Word. And next thing you know, you're out of fellowship with God. And then we're right back. Instead of looking next to us, our old self, we just came back together again. Living that old self. Living in the pig pen. And you can't get out of it. I believe that God is still a miracle worker today. But I believe we're not seeing as many miracles because we're not allowing Him to put His finger on us. Now, we don't have the faith to believe in Him like we used to. We are not doing and being the people that God has called us to do. This is a church that God has put in the inner city of Huntington to reach people at a crossroads when they're going through their problems of life, that we might help as many as possible. As many as possible, showing them the light and the good news. Some will take it and grab hold of it and run and begin to be a part of the family of God. Others will take what they can get and they will drift away. But that should, but we as believers need to continue to pray for them. Not get a bad attitude toward them, but we need to pray for them. Some of you need to get more involved in the church, period. I'm going to step on something here. I'll step on lightly. If you have a physical problem, that's understandable. And if you had a physical problem for many years, it just may be, it's a part of your life. But I want to tell you, the Bible says you'll be set free. You come to Christ, you'll be set free. I'm talking about if some things have been done to you, or you got some anger in you, or you got something that's been done to you when you were 6, 7 years old, 10, 15, 20, maybe even 30, and you're harboring that and that continues to fester all the time, let me tell you, you need to give it to Christ. If you can't get it through between you and Him, you need come see me and I will find a counselor, a Christian biblical counselor, to help you walk through this thing because you are not set free. You need to be set free. You will never be what God's called you to be until you walk away from the old self and you have to let go of the old self. Even if it's unforgiveness of what someone or others have done to you, you need to work through it. It will always be in your face. Until you deal with it. You cannot have that stuff in your life, and it's horrible that things have happened to people, and be an imitator of God. You have to let God do some work. Even if it causes you to bring up some things you want to put in there, you got to open up the closet and you got to deal with it. Let's be honest, not all of our aunts and uncles were good people. Not all of our parents were good people. Some of them were just flat out horrible. But I want to tell you, you can't be set free unless you go through Christ. You have to go through it 100%. You can't keep 2% hidden away. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Because that 2% will keep coming back up in your life. And you, it is horrible, because what happens is someone becomes someone just like that again. I said they would never do anything like that. I read it once, I'm going to read it again. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has come, or the old has gone, and the new has come. If you are in Christ, you ought to be new 100%. Not 98, but 100%. Now here's the thing, when I get into conversation, people say, you don't know what I've been through. I don't. But God does. And if you ask Him to work in your life and you keep bringing that up and you're not dealt with it, that becomes a wedge between you and Him. Now I know that's a touchy, touchy area. But if you're harboring anger, because we just read about anger, if you're harboring anger and hatred and bitterness towards someone, I want to tell you, the only way you're going to be able to get rid of something like that is through Christ. That's the only way. Because evil has done, darkness has done some wicked things. And some of us have been a part of it on the receiving end. And sorry to say, but some of us have also done evil things to other people. And it goes back to chapter 5, verse 1. Be imitators of God. And that is hard. It's impossible. But not impossible with God. So what does that mean? Philippians, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ. I can't do it on my own. But through Christ, I can get through this storm. And I need to let go of some things in my life. And I need to become this new creation God's called me to do. As He says, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. When's the last time you've had a testimony about what God has done in your life? If it's been too long, why has it been too long? If Christ is doing a life, doing a work in your life, what can you say? What can you praise Him about what He has done in your life? If you got some old things in the closet, the only way to deal with them is to get them right with God. One step at a time. One piece at a time sometimes. Satan wants you to harbor that for the rest of your life, so that will be a wedge between you and him, between you and God. It's always a door. You don't want to leave a door open. There's a part in there. We didn't read, but it talks about do not leave a door open for the devil. And folks, I will tell you, a lot of churches don't preach on it, but there is a devil. There is Satan. There are demonic. Thank God there's angels, but it is Jesus. He is the key. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Father. Now, I don't know where your life is, but you made it here this morning. This section's all been gone for a while. I don't even know where those people are. This church has so many faces in it. I can't even remember. I asked my wife, who's missing? I can't even remember. I've asked God, who's missing? I don't know. Because there's so many. There'll be a different church. Most of you will be here next week, but there'll be a different church here on next Sunday. That's how the faces change so fast here. And here they are. They're trying to live over here. They're trying to live over here. And we got to work with them. And we want to work with them. Which means we need to pray for them. And we need to speak into their lives of love and kindness, but also truth. Also truth. Compassion. You can have compassion and love without accepting sin. You all know there's sin, right? We don't get to pick and choose what is sin and what is not sin. The Bible is very clear. Most of us who have been Christians for a while have had a moment somewhere in your Christian walk where you kind of slip for a bit. True? I want you to remember, how did you get back? You knew that you weren't right with God. You knew you were probably you're doing some of those sinful things again. You got it back and you got it right because when you heard that Holy Spirit's conviction, you came to a place and you said, I don't belong here. And we began our journey back to God. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. There are people running up and down that highway every day. Don't judge them. Love on them. Get closer to the road where you can help them. At this moment, we're going to go ahead and stand and